Good morning.
We have an interesting gospel today where Jesus essentially tells us to get yoked, which is an odd thing. I mean, what even is a yoke exactly? It's not something you see every day. And a yoke is essentially like a board or something that goes on your shoulders and you use to carry a heavy burden. It could be like two pails of water, or it's something you can put on the shoulders of two animals to plow or to carry something heavy. So that's essentially what a yoke is. But Jesus gives us a little bit of a contradiction in what even a yoke is, because a yoke is used to carry something heavy, a heavy burden. But Jesus says that his yoke is easy and it is light. So that's an interesting description of it. But then we're also given another yoke, and this yoke is of the world. It is of the flesh, and it's one of sin. And this is what the world tries to offer to us. It is wanting us to do what makes us feel good and to do all these things, but essentially all of that leads to our feelings of isolation, shame, distraction, and false worship, essentially. And so this is the same yoke that Adam and Eve put on. They had the easiest. They were in the Garden of Eden. They were in the garden of all delight. Everything was provided for them. They had everything they needed, and they didn't have to toil or do any kind of backbreaking work. God provided for them because he loved them. But then they were tempted, and they grasped after the fruit, and they took off God's yoke, which was easy and was light, and they put on the yoke of sin, pain, and death. And so this yoke, Satan likes to isolate us. He wants to make us feel shameful of what we have done and accuse us of our sins. He doesn't call us by name. He calls us by our sins. And he wants to remove you from your loved ones. He wants to isolate you in that way. He wants to distract you. He wants to keep you jumping from one activity to the next, from school to work to home to family to sports to watching TV to everything, to keep you from thinking and knowing God. And essentially that leads to, he wants to lead us to false worship. He wants us to worship idols. And what that essentially means is that worshiping an idol is just that we give our time, money, and attention to. And so that could be things like phone and social media. So spending so much time on TikTok, Facebook, or Snapchat, or it could be entertainment, spending all our time watching football or Netflix, or it could be in the form of power and vanity, such as like seeking after a status or worrying about the next fashion trends, or constantly being in the gym, or always wanting to be in the know about the latest tea or gossip. And it could be making work an idol, where you spend all your time at work trying to climb the ladder and not spending any time with your family or kids or spouse or loved ones. And essentially, if God isn't the priority in your life, you are worshiping an idol. God has to be the priority. God says you can't love both God and mammon. You will either serve one and love one and hate the other, or vice versa. So what is the yoke of Christ? The yoke of Christ has very different hallmarks. It's paradoxical. It's light and easy somehow. But yet it brings us to communion. It brings us to right worship and to forgiveness. And so the whole point is communion with God, entering into a relationship with God, with the Father, because he loves us. He reminds us of who we are and whose image we are made from. And he reminds us that we have a Father, and he will never leave us orphans. He will always remain with us. And he forgives our sins as far as the east is from the west. He doesn't call us by our sin. He calls us by name. And he wants to join us to himself and in through this yoke. And this yoke, there are basically two practices that we do to put on this yoke, two ways we live this out. And it's something I want to invite you to consider and to pray with where you could deepen your relationship with Christ. And those two things are through prayer and through fasting. And it's interesting because the church, the only thing I can think of, says you have to do two things unless under pain of mortal sin. And one of those is going to church on Sundays and holy days of obligation, and also fasting on Fridays. And that's not just during Lent. We're called to fast from meat during Fridays and Lent, but also actually outside of Lent too. And you can substitute fasting for meat with something else, something equivalent. And it doesn't just have to be food related. And so it's interesting because those are so important. And the whole reason for even having these, it's about a relationship with God. The church sees these as the most important, some of the most important things we do in our relationship with God. And the big thing on prayer of going to Mass is reminding us of who we are, because we so often forget in our world, and it's so easy to forget. He wants to give us true rest. He wants to remind us of our dignity, that we're made in His image, and that we are loved no matter what, that we are so deeply loved, and He seeks after us, and He brings us here, and it is good that we are here. And we can do this through spending time daily in prayer, like 5 or 10 minutes, or if, praise God, if you're able to do an hour every day or 30 minutes, whatever it is, just spending that time in commitment in silent prayer, just getting to know the Lord and sharing your love, your blessings, your struggles, everything with God, and just entering into a dialogue with Him, because He wants to know your heart. And another way is through a daily examine and prayer. And that is, a daily examine is essentially you're focusing on your blessings from God and then thanking Him for those, and then looking at the ways that you failed to love Him and your neighbor, and then asking for forgiveness, and then making a resolution to remove just one particular sin in your life and working towards that and growing in virtue. And so fasting is the next one. And the big question can be why? Like, it's hard to give up. It's not comfortable. And you're right, it's not comfortable. And that is good. It's not that it's good to be uncomfortable, but the why we do it is because we all suffer from the effects of the fall. We all have distorted views on the good from time to time. We sometimes forget what is actually truly good for us. And that's what fasting helps to remedy. It's a medicine. It's something the church in her wisdom given by God to us to help us to make us like God. Because that's God's goal. He wants to love us, and He wants to make us into a perfect image of Himself. We're meant to be a perfect image of love. And we can do this through prayer and through fasting. And so we do this by mortifying our fallen desires for the sake of our aligning our wills with His. And we can do this and offer it up for the good of another person in prayer. And that's something so beautiful. That's living out charity. That's living out love. That is being God's love in a world so desperate and hungry for God's love. And so the choice really is ours. We can choose to reject God's offer of love. We can choose to be orphans and to be abandoned. You can choose to be enslaved to your passions and idols, wandering about aimlessly, looking for some relief in the darkness. Or you can choose to trust God the Father and enter into a daily relationship with Him. You can choose to live according to the Spirit, according to Christ, to take upon His yoke of prayer and fasting. And you can choose to receive the eternal and blessed inheritance that awaits God's children, where we will see Him face to face, because we will be like Him.